Blog Talk Radio.
There's a little song that we sing in our movement down in the South. I don't know if you've heard it, but it has become the theme song. We shall overcome. We shall overcome. Deep in my heart, I do believe we shall overcome. Though I join hands so often with students and others behind jail bars singing it, we shall overcome. Sometimes we've had tears in our eyes when we joined together to sing it, but we still decided to sing it. We shall overcome. No, before this victory is won, some will have to get thrown in jail some more, but we shall overcome. Don't worry about us. Before the victory is won, some of us will lose jobs, but we shall overcome. Before the victory is won, even some will have to face physical death. But if physical death is the price that some must pay to free their children from a permanent psychological death, then nothing shall be more redemptive. We shall overcome. Before the victory is won, some will be misunderstood and called bad names and dismissed as rabble-rousers and agitators. But we shall overcome. And I'll tell you why. We shall overcome because the arc of the moral universe is long, but it bends toward justice. We shall overcome because Carlyle is right. No lie can live forever. We shall overcome because William Cullen Bryant is right. Truth crushed to earth will rise again. We shall overcome because James Russell Lowell is right. Truth forever on the scaffold, wrong forever on the throne. Yet that scaffold sways the future. Behind the dim unknown standeth God within the shadows, keeping watch above his own. We shall overcome because the Bible is right. You shall reap what you sow. We shall overcome. Deep in my heart, I do believe we shall overcome. And with this faith, we will go out and adjourn the councils of despair and bring new light into the dark chambers of pessimism. And we will be able to rise from the fatigue of despair to the buoyancy of hope. And this will be a great America. We will be the participants in making it so. And so as I leave you this evening, I say, walk together, children. Don't you get weary. There's a great camp meeting in the fall.
That you know, if you got a dog and your dog bites somebody, they charge you.
I think these parents need to be charged. I was going to say that, Joe. The parents need to be charged. If you the kid go in the store, grab a $1,000 pocketbook and run home with it, what is the parents doing? It happened in Chicago. It happened in Ohio, in Los Angeles. And it's just like, it's a setup for black people. Let me tell you what I'm talking about. The boy got off for killing two white people. He got off for killing two white people. And the judge found him innocent. The jury said he's innocent. And he shot two white men and shot him down. And he had a rifle. He had an army gun. Now, he's setting the point up for them kids go in the store, grab watches, pocketbooks to get killed on the street. Why? Because you're picking up property. And a lot of these guys, 12, 13, and 14, doing this criminal act, and it's fun to them, but it's death coming to them because they're picking pocketbooks. They're picking stuff that don't belong to them. Now, what I'm saying, 12 and 13, 14, if your parents, you can't have your kids, they can get with the other kids and walk into Walmart or walk into Walgreens, walk to any store and snatch and grab pocketbooks or whatever they grab, and you don't spend nothing, they're going to get caught up by the system. And when they get caught up by the system, they're going to get killed. They're going to get shot. Well, how old Johnny got shot? He's stealing. He's robbing. He won't go to school. Now, you can't fault white folks because black don't go to school. You can't fault white folks for them that don't want education. Now, Pam, look at your church. When you're 12, 13, 14, and 15, you're doing all this kind of stuff, destruction gonna come. That's what Dr. King was talking about what's going on. Now, I don't approve of this snatch and grab because I know it's going to the point where they're gonna get shot down on spot. Run out with my TV set. I'm going to shoot you. And they run out with your gun, and you got a gun, you're going to shoot them. I don't get the 12, 13, where's their parents? Let's deal with reality. We have to come back and deal with the reality of our children not being trained. And they jump on the parents and all of that. The court system let them out. Now, you see what happened to the boy that came all the way from Illinois up to Wisconsin. Killed two men because he was white. And the judge and the state's attorney and the prosecutor had it all set up. If they had to find him guilty, the judge would have said mistrial. This is a dangerous precedent and means that now those that walking and grabbing, they're going to get killed. They're not going to go to jail. They're going to get shot down running with a pocketbook. They're going to get shot down running with something they stole out of Walgreens or Walmart and going to be justified self-defense. You're stealing somebody else's property. And when the parents say, oh, that's my daughter, where was you? Like I'm going to say in Chicago, the young boy that the police shot, he was 12 years old. What if he went out at 1 o'clock at night in the morning? He should have been at home in the day. Now, the parents got to take charge. Somebody got to say, parents, where you at? Why little Johnny ain't going to school? Why Boogie and Duke is not being educated? And you're going to say, this is what's going on in the country. And you can't, this is what's going on, Jerry. Pam is not standing up for what they're supposed to do. If you got to find, right now, you got to start. You got to pick that is fighting somebody, they're going to come after you and so on. When your son or your daughter go in the store and grab pocketbook, whatever they grab, run out and bring it home to you, and you don't chastise them, so that your parent is letting children down. And when you don't make them go to school, so you got uneducated kids are going dumb as a rock and don't know nothing because you won't chastise them. That's something still happening. Get ready for that.
I think we are in a new era, a new phase of struggle, where we have moved from a struggle for decency, which characterized our struggle 10 or 12 years, to a struggle for genuine equality. And this is where we're getting distant, because there was never any intention to go this far. People were reacting to honor and to general harm, and acting in good faith for the realization. Do you think white people, I'm talking about non-Jews, avoid making their avoid racism? Do you have any idea of what they want the neighborhood to be in America?
Well, it depends on the level we are talking here. Because I think you have to make a distinction between the people who are genuinely and absolutely committed by the white community on this question of racial equality. I must confess that I think they are a very small minority. I think the vast majority of white Americans will go but so far. It's a kind of insole claim for equality. And they always look for an excuse to go but so far.
Why are they looking for the excuse? What is it about the Negro? Every other group that is an immigrant.
Freedom and famine at the same time. And when white Americans tell the Negro to lift
don't look over the legacies of slavery and segregation. I believe we ought to do all we can and seek to lift ourselves by our own bootstraps. But it's a cruel justice, say, to boot this man that he ought to lift himself by his own bootstraps. And many Negroes, about thousands of millions, have been left bootless as a result of all the oppression and as a result of a society that deliberately made his color some stigma and something worth grading.
Apart from wanting to live better, what do all of us want to do? To raise one's children in a better way, to be better. Does the Negro in America know what he wants to be?
I think that almost every Negro in the country, other than those who have been so starved by the system, they become pathological. We all have to battle with pathology, and nobody really knows what it means.
That's Dr. King talking about what's going on with us, what's going on with the black man in America, and where we at now. Prison lawyers, but still that color of black have held us back. And we have to teach our children, and what's happening, the children now don't want to obey their parents. They want to go snatch and grab. And they think that's proper. That's not proper. But I want to change gears. I want to tell you to get your Bibles. I'm going to Revelation. And Revelation is a spiritual thing. I want to Joe, I want you to listen to this. I want you to listen to this thing, Jerry, because I want to go into the spirit of Revelation. And Revelation deal with the sound and the angels. Michael, write this down. Get your pencil and paper where you might understand. Michael, Revelation chapter 12, verse 7. Michael and his angels fought the dragon, fought Abaddon, or the devil, or the evil. The reason we're going through what we're going through right now, and I'm going to have to finish this tomorrow night, but I want to start it tonight because I want you to be a part of what we're talking about and what's going on is deep to deal with your liver, your lungs, your kidney. We just had an eclipse. And the lady asked me today, Bishop, I have my psyche ability. I'm picking up more. What happened? When we had that eclipse, it cleansed your melanin. Now, you know, you black, you got melanin. It cleaned your melanin because your melanin had been blocked. How come it been blocked? Because of chemtrails. It's been blocked because of negativity. And I'm talking about the way you think. See, we've been dealing with outer, and you got to deal with spiritual. When we talk about Christmas, Christmas was here before Christianity. The lighting of the tree was here before Christianity. So this is something old, but it's with us. It come from Kemet. It come from Egypt. So many of our traditions, do you know Christmas have a spirit? When Christmas over, that spirit leave, and the Europeans, the white man grabbed it and said, well, we're going to have Black Friday, and we're going to have a Christmas all about buying and selling. It ain't about uplifting the cosmic, but uplifting you. Your melanin, your energy is going to work. So get your Bible to Revelation. We want to deal with Revelation tonight. I'm going to have to finish tomorrow about what's going on. It is important for you to read and understand it because I'm going to explain some stuff to you that ain't never been explained to you. And you need to know this because this is going to help you because we've got to deal with the spirit on the inside of us. We've been dealing. See, if there's a physical world, there's a spiritual world, and there's an invisible world. We're living in the physical world, but your body is geared up for the invisible world. So that's where we all messed up. So when you read Revelation, you don't understand it because it's dealing with the physical and the spirit. It's dealing with what done happened, what will happen. You can wear that. It's all in us, body, mind, soul, and spirit.
Revelation chapters 8 and 9, as well as in Revelation 11, verses 15 through 19. The trumpets represent disasters. The seven trumpets are the contents of the seventh seal judgment. Revelation 8, verses 1 to 5. And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. And I saw the seven angels which stood before God. And to them were given seven trumpets. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer. And there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense, which came with the prayers of the saints, ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar and cast it into the earth. And there were voices, and thunderings, and lightning, and an earthquake. The judgments heralded by the seven trumpets will occur during the tribulation period at the end of the world. Seven angels who stand in God's presence are given seven trumpets, which will be used to unleash another round of judgments. The first trumpet. When the first angel blows his trumpet, the entire world is engulfed in hail and fire mixed with blood. Revelation 8, verse 7. This plague destroys one-third of the world's trees and consumes all grass. There's some resemblance to Egypt's seventh plague. Exodus 9, verses 23 to 24. And Moses stretched forth his rod toward heaven, and the Lord sent thunder and hail, and the fire ran along upon the ground, and the Lord rained hail upon the land of Egypt. So there was hail, and fire mingled with the hail, very grievous, such as there was none like it in all the land of Egypt since it became a nation. The second trumpet. Revelation 8, verses 8 and 9. The second angel sounded his trumpet, and something like a huge mountain, all ablaze, was thrown into the sea. A third of the sea turned into blood. A third of the living creatures in the sea died, and a third of the ships were destroyed. In heaven, a second angel sounds a trumpet. The result is that something like a huge mountain, all ablaze, was thrown into the sea. A third of the sea turns into blood, a third of the ships sink, and a third of the ocean dies, verse 9. This judgment is similar in some ways to the first plague in Egypt. See Exodus 7, verses 20 to 21. The third trumpet. Revelation 8, verses 10 and 11. The third angel sounded his trumpet, and a great star, blazing like a torch, fell from the sky on a third of the rivers and on the springs of water. The name of the star is Wormwood. A third of the waters turned bitter, and many people died from the waters that had become bitter. The third trumpet judgment is like the second, except it affects the world's freshwater lakes and rivers instead of the ocean. Specifically, a great star, blazing like a torch, falls from the sky and poisons a third of the water supply. Revelation 8, verse 10. Wormwood is the name given to this star, and many people die as a result. Verse 11. Wormwood, Artemisia absinthia, is a shrub-like plant known for its extreme bitterness and poisonous properties in botany. The fourth trumpet. The fourth angel sounded his trumpet, and a third of the sun was struck, and a third of the moon, and a third of the stars, so that a third of them turned dark. A third of the day was without light, and also a third of the night. As I watched, I heard an eagle that was flying in midair call out in a loud voice, "Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, because of the trumpet blast about to be sounded by the other three angels." Revelation 8, verses 12 to 13. The fourth of the seven trumpets bring about changes in the heavens. A third of the sun was struck, a third of the moon, and a third of the stars, so that a third of them turned dark. A third of the day was without light, and also a third of the night. Revelation 8, verse 12. Following the fourth trumpet judgment, John observes a special warning given by an eagle flying through the air. This eagle cries out in a loud voice, "Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, because of the trumpet blast about to be sounded by the other three angels." Revelation 8, verse 13. For this reason, the fifth, sixth, and seventh trumpets are referred to as three woes.
Woe.
The fifth trumpet. Revelation 9, verses 1 to 5. The fifth angel sounded his trumpet, and I saw a star that had fallen from the sky to the earth. The star was given the key to the shaft of the abyss. When he opened the abyss, smoke rose from it like the smoke from a gigantic furnace. The sun and sky were darkened by the smoke from the abyss. And out of the smoke, locusts came down on the earth and were given power like that of scorpions of the earth. They were told not to harm the grass of the earth or any plant or tree, but only those people who did not have the seal of God on their forehead. They were not allowed to kill them, but only to torture them for 5 months. And the agony they suffered was like that of the sting of a scorpion when it strikes. During those days, people will seek death, but will not find it. They will long to die, but death will elude them. The locusts look like horses prepared for battle. On their heads, they wore something like crowns of gold, and their faces resembled human faces. Their hair was and their teeth were like they had breastplates of iron.
Literally means the destroyer of the Ephraim. When the fifth angel blows his trumpet,
the abyss, a great smoking pit will open, and a horde of demonic locusts will rise out of it. Revelation 9, verses 1 to 3. These beings will be given the authority to torture anyone who does not bear God's seal. The pain they cause will be so excruciating that sufferers will wish to die. Abaddon, Apollyon, is the abyss's ruler and the king of these demonic locusts. Abaddon and Apollyon is likely one of Satan's underlings, a destroying demon, and one of the rulers, authorities, and powers mentioned in Ephesians 6, verse 12. The sixth trumpet. Revelation 9, verses 13 to 21. The sixth angel sounded his trumpet, and I heard a voice coming from the four horns of the golden altar that is before God. It said to the sixth angel, had the trumpet, release the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates, and the four angels who have been kept ready this very hour and day and month and year were released to kill the third of mankind. The number of the mountain troops was twice 10,000 times 10,000. I heard their number. The horses and riders I saw in my vision looked like this. Their breastplates were fiery red, dark blue, yellow as smoke. Their heads of the horses resembled the heads of lions, and out of their mouths came fire and smoke and salt. A third of man cut their tails, for their tails were like snakes, having heads which they put into. The rest of mankind, not killed by these plagues, still did not repent of the work of their hands. They did not stop worshiping demons and idols of gold, silver, bronze, stone and wood, idols that cannot see or hear or walk, nor did they repent of their murders, their magic arts, and their spiritual morality of their dead deeds.
All of their dares of 65 are beginning our trip against it.
Thank you.
a business complaint. Murder, Houston, murder, in Memphis, five people been killed. You're dealing with the physical grief of land, money, and all that. It's not real. See, all the stuff you maintain now, it's your kitchen rock, it can burn up, it can grow with a house, can burn down, car can rock. It's not really real. You have to get out of your spiritual mind. You got to move out of your mindset in order to master what's going on. So in your spirit sense, that means your mindset. Body, mind, soul, and spirit. So if you're not dealing in revelation with your mind, you're into the physical, but you got to be into the spirit. You cannot understand revelation just by reading. You got to read. You got to have melody. A melody man, a melody woman. Once you get into it and read it, you said, don't make no sense. No, it don't make no sense for the physical, but it makes sense for the spirit. So we are living in the spirit world and a spirit thing. It's a lot of things you see, you read, you don't understand. They can advertise all they want to. And if you don't get it to the spirit, you won't get it. So it's important to understand tonight. We're talking about moving to the next level and what the understanding that body, mind, soul, and spirit. I was dealing with the angels last night. Now we'll deal with some of the angels tonight because some of the angels control 100,000 spirits or more. And you're talking about the Zebiel, he's an angel of prayer. These are keepers of the gate, keepers of the physical world. You got more people. Men suicide because they caught up in the demonic physical world. They're not dealing with the spirit world. And anytime you deal with the physical over the spirit, you got a problem. That's Michael, Gabriel, that's Raphael. And I'm just naming some of the angels that keep watch. This is Abiel, Hamiel, Michael. Hamiel is the teacher. Then you got Michael, you got Abiel, Andrea, and these are some angels. But what I want to say to you, these angels that are watch over what's going on in the spirit, because you have to understand the flood was spiritual. Something physical. And when you go to Egypt and look from the wall and you see the confession that's going on, it resonates to you. Exodus 23 and 20, you need to read that. Well, the gatekeeper brings full knowledge to you, the knowledge of what's going on. Because we have angels that on the day shift and on the night shift, we have different angels on different segments or different shifts that doing different things, making that right back. Right now, we're dealing with Michael, we're dealing with Samuel, Cassiel, Raphael, Cain. These are the angels at 9, 10, 11, and 12. So you have to understand when you pray, and sometimes you have to understand you have to pray and meditate to those voices to go do what you want them to do for you in the spirit world. We got Andrew here, and he demands $16,600,000 spirits. These are the seals of the seven angels. And you got Abdul, and he demands 10,000 trillion of spirits. Now these are, this is Babiel. He demands 20 9 trillion of the spirit. Then you got Metatron, the angel of war. And then you got the angel of healing. And each of them 100,000 spirits, which they control. So you have to understand, when you get into the physical world, you got to understand that the physical world is what you're seeing, but it ain't the real world. The real world is the spirit world. When you go, I'm going to ask a question. When you go to sleep, where do you go? You wake up. You don't know where you've been. Because you're going to that spirit realm. And that spirit realm don't tell you what go and what it do. In the name of the Almighty God and all the angels and all the spirits, I shall say, we call the forces of the gatekeepers that keep good spirits, body, mind, soul, and spirit. Now, we're dealing this year in 2020, 21, and 2020 with them with sickness and a lot of condition. Like the King said, that we the only one that they brought him in chains, and they gave everybody blame but the blame. But in the spirit realm, it ain't the blood, tonic, because they didn't even treat black people right. So the spirit realm is taking care of the business. The storm, the flood, God keep coming back to back, they build the houses, they cut out, they do right to them people that you brought over. You brought these people over here, and you brought them over here, and you do them right, okay? And when you brought them over, you brought them over here, you didn't treat them right. I'm talking about the don't want to say that. You can't, you got to help. Everybody got help. Everybody got reparations but the black man. No, that's not only that. That's what happened. Everybody got that. But the black folks. And I was children. They're all listening to they are not the money. And they are getting hard.
Go kill somebody.
Cops.
You got bad.
But you're not with it. Go to the store and
pack up
the store. The money is pure. That's the code. Clean. No. That's why I got to be
people. Some
people are
devil.
And the only way they're going to die, because they're going to die, they're going to have a short lifespan, because they're caught up with demon spirit. They have demon out of them. So I want to say, when David had to fight the giant, and he killed the giant, but out of the giant, they had sex with him. And all those people was demons. They had to die. Now, the giant was going with human beings. And they had children. And after them children died, all the children they had were possessed with demons. The angel that kicked out of heaven just came down and had sex with women. And having sex with women, they had giants. That's where the giants come from. Now, the giants lived in caves in Europe. They found some of the bones 6 feet, 7 feet, 10 feet tall. They were giants. But how come the giants had made it with the fallen angels? Revelation chapter 12, verse 7, where Michael kicked the devil Satan out of heaven. And they went to the earth realm. They can come back to the spirit realm because they won Jesus. Now, but they raised hell on earth. They made it with women, with humans. And out of that relationship with humans came giants. And the giants had sex with women. And out of the giants having sex, they had demons. And all them people had to die out.
God died out.
So that was in the physical. Read your Bible. When you go to the law book of the Bible, it tells you, some of the books that you read, it tells you the John and how they made it with humans and how they brought out different witchcraft, different magic, angels, brought magic and teaching to men. So We're dealing with people right now that are trying to be able to control the universe. You can't control the universe because it's spiritual. And those that are spiritual minded can get a breath. But if you ain't spiritual minded, you can't get it through no way. So you've got to be spiritual. So it's very important that tomorrow we're going to deal more in Revelation. And get your Bible where you can understand that, or where we're going, and what happened with us. Just a little bit of Dr. Clark right here.
My main point here is that none of us should get into this dialogue of my slave master is better than your slave master, inasmuch as all of them were bad. But each one of us had to deal with a given situation, and all of the situations were bad, and all of the situations were humiliating. And none of the slave masters were kind. And none of them did us any favor. And none of them favored one over the other. And understand that the slave ships did not bring any black Americans or any Caribbeans out of Africa. They were only African people. And all of them had to become what the system made them become. And so we have to understand that all of us belong to a collective African family away from home. And subsequently, we are going to have to go back home or make some kind of contribution to Africans in Africa. All right, that's not my point. That's not the subject for tonight, but it is a subject that we cannot avoid. All right, now, why the emphasis on Africa and the rise of Christianity? And I'll tell you how I came to the subject briefly. Because I learned to read very early, because I wanted to teach Sunday school in a Baptist church, and because I had, I was under the persuasion of a great lady, my great grandmother, one of the great loves of my existence. Because she was devoutly religious and a believer in the Bible to the point of saying everything in the Bible is true and not to be contradicted. And when I found all those white images and went to Grandma, Grandma said, "Shut up, boy. That's God's word." When I mentioned the curse and asked the question, what did we do as a people to get cursed? She rationalized it and said that, well, one day the veil will be lifted and we'll be freed of the curse. I could not deal with this because I had so much faith in her and her deep religious belief that everything in the Bible was true. I had not grown up, of course. I had not read books about how the Bible got written. I did not know at that time how to separate history from Jewish folklore. I did not know that principally the Bible is a Jewish survival book and a very good one, and that some of it is pure history, some of it is pure folklore, but all of it is spirituality. And we must understand, all of it was told as a spiritual story and for the spiritual enhancement of all men. I had not at that time looked at the Egyptian version and the Ethiopian version of the Bible. It was not until the late 30s that I saw an Ethiopian Bible. And in the Ethiopian Bible, there was only one white character, and that was the devil. I had not at that time been exposed to all of that, or the literature concerning the religions of the world. I saw that Africa was the basis of all the three major world religions. What I want to look at, I want to look at not only Africa as the basis of the world's religions, I want to look at the spirituality of the world of that day before the formal development of these religions. Because these religions were developed out of the spirituality that existed at the time. And that the spirituality at the time and the religions at the time was not a weekend thing. It was an all-conclusive thing that it embraced the life of its inheritance. To such an extent, your religion determined your dress, your marriage, your diet. It determined where you lived. It determined the totality of your life. And it was not a partial thing in your life. It was a total thing in your life, as your choice of spirituality supposed to be. Western man made it something that it was never intended to be. Now, my main point is that all of the elements that went into the making of the world's three major religions, Judaism, Christianity, and Islam, all of the elements existed in Africa 3,000 years before the formal development of these religions. We want to look at these elements and look at these stories. Then we want to deal with the Hebrew entry and to what extent they copied African folklore and made this folklore a part of their history. And the same folklore having existed in Africa for thousands of years before they arrived. Now, what you have to look at also is the fact that we are talking about a period in the history of the world when there was no such thing as Europe. It's hard for you to believe this, and it is hard for you to understand that for most of the existence of the world, for most of the time, man has been functioning in the world, there was no such place as Europe. Now, we're looking at civilizations that existed before the creation of a place in northern Asia called Europe. That is not a continent. What you have to understand is the impact of the glacial age. And the glacial age hit Europe for most of the existence of these early civilizations.